Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week we read, "Your people aren't ready for warfare," I said, lowering my voice to a whisper. "That's what this is. War. More blood will flow before this is all over. I don't need to team up with a bunch of people who think this is all a game. This is real. I've killed people. I'm going to kill more people before it's done. You don't have to fight this alone." "I'm not going to be responsible for what happens to you," I said. "This isn't right, Jake. We can help. We're better manned and trained than you give us credit for." I left without responding. And now, episode 7. As I walked away from Chris, I noticed that the people on the street seemed quieter than normal. I pulled out my smartphone, which was still on, even though I knew better, to see if Spectrum had noticed my presence and had sent out an alert. It had not. I was in the clear. Most people were still talking while going about their business, but they also kept looking about as if expecting something to happen. It was a sign of our times that word of the threat had spread so quickly. It had not been more than 10 minutes since Jolene had walked in with the video, but it seemed everybody knew of it, or had at least picked up on the increased tension of those around them. I passed a bench with people waiting for a bus, several of whom were viewing the video on a phone with the sound turned all the way up. Others had crowded in from all sides to see what it was about. As I looked away from them, I tried to keep the fear from showing on my face, but it was difficult. There was little more than makeup, a few strips of latex, and a hat keeping me from being recognized. I was surrounded by people who had a fresh image of my face in their mind. As I passed a man who stood with his back up against a light post, I noticed that he had just opened the Spectrum app. He had not looked at me, so I figured I was in the clear. He was just checking. Peck's network of ears was growing exponentially because of this new threat. A woman moved her phone in a sweeping motion as if she were taking a panorama picture. I figured she was using the FaceRec app to monitor those around her. I turned my head when she got to me. If she noticed, she did nothing about it and kept recording her video. A man bumped into me and I was careful to keep from speaking, though I could tell he expected me to apologize. I noticed 4 more people recording video, making me wish for a mask to break up the bone structure of my face. The tension of the crowd seemed to build further I went. I realized I was nearing the Diagon building that had been destroyed several weeks back. Even though Ground Zero was still several blocks away, I noticed dust on the parking meters. I headed towards Data Raider headquarters, thinking Reed might set off a small bomb on an empty floor. That seemed to be his way. Rather than sit on a bench, I went on a circuitous route around the headquarters that kept me approaching it from a variety of different directions. I made sure to keep my distance from the building itself, assuming FaceRec had been integrated with their surveillance systems. Time passed, and with each lap around the complex, I went further away. I continued to check my phone, expecting to hear word of the new attack. None came. I gave up on circling Data Raider headquarters. I was too restless to return home, so I wandered the city aimlessly. I wasn't quite sure what I was hoping to accomplish, but I was too antsy to do anything else. There had to be a way to stop the madness. If Reed were hoping he'd get me to work with him by a war of attrition, he was making the wrong choice. I was more likely to shoot him on sight. A feeling of numbness settled over me, making me think I might have been a little hasty in turning down Chris's offer to help. I had no leads. Nothing to go on. If I had brought them in on this, I could have at least used their facilities to do research, helping her locate Margaret and Benji. Instead, I had wasted the rest of the day. I pulled out my burner phone, inserted the battery, and turned it on. I was starting to feel a little desperate and was thinking of calling Reed directly. I had spent some time on my smartphone and had discovered his Data Raider extension. I doubted he would answer, but why not give it a shot? The sun had set and the night was becoming cold. My burner phone rang before I could dial. I did not recognize the number and would have normally let it go to voicemail, But I stepped into an alley and walked fast so I would be away from any eavesdropping phone passing on the sidewalk. I answered the call but did not speak yet, continuing to walk. "Is that you?" It was Shannon. I nodded but went a few more steps just to be safe before speaking. "What do you want?" I tried to remember if I'd ever called her from this number. I probably had, but was suspicious still the same. My paranoia was in overdrive, working hard to keeping me alive. "This isn't you, is it?" The question made me grip the phone. Did she know nothing about me? It was bad enough getting the accusation from Jolene and having Maxine look at me askance, but to have Shannon ask the question was just too much. "What do you think?" I asked, layering on as much sarcasm as I could. "I don't mean to offend. I doubted the first few videos, but they just keep coming. You hate Diagon, and so does the fake you. You're suspicious of Datarator, and so is the fake you. They even got your mannerisms just right." "I noticed," I said. "Any idea if this is Peck?" As soon as the question was out of my mouth, I regretted it. For one, I was certain it was Reed. For the other, Shannon thought the world of Peck. There was silence from the other end. It stretched on, but I did not break it. "Peck isn't Beltran," she said at last. "He would not do this to you." He knew Shannon. He knew about everything. I had opened the door. Why not walk in? Our relationship was beyond repair anyway. I needed to accept the fact. He knew everything Beltran was up to. "I will entertain any proof you have," she said. It was my turn to be silent. "I thought not," she went on. "You of all people should appreciate the sentiment of not judging a man without proof." I laughed bitterly. "You make my point for me. The evidence is precarious and deceptive. There aren't 12 people in the city who wouldn't string me up themselves. They think they know I'm guilty, but I'm not." I paused. "Remember that. I am not." "Do you have any idea who is behind this?" "Peck is one of two." She waited for me to go on, but I didn't. "Tell me who it is. I can help." "You would not believe me," I said. "Right after I say his name, you'll ask for evidence. And guess what? I have none. Not an ounce. Not an inkling. I have a big, fat nothing." "I will accept it on faith for now," she said. I was tempted to tell her. It would have been nice to have somebody who believed me. Someone who helped me, but I wasn't about to tell her my suspicions. Even if Peck didn't have some hand in this, I wasn't about to believe he wasn't going to take advantage of any situation that might arise. The last thing I needed was for him to have a more compelling reason to acquire Datarator. "Sorry," I said, disconnecting the call. Right as I did, my smartphone beeped with a news alert. The second attack had come. 5 warehouses had gone up in flames. I checked the location on the map and realized I was about 10 blocks away. I left the alley at a brisk pace, wanting to jog but not wanting to risk the attention it might bring. I heard the sirens first. Sometime later, I could hear the flames, the roaring and crackling of burning wood punctuated by small explosions that I figured were coming from flammable materials in the warehouses. When I turned a corner, there was a break in the buildings, and I could see the fire lighting up the evening sky. It might have started with just the 5 buildings, but it had engulfed far more than that. I was surprised Reed had targeted warehouses. I had expected a bomb at the Datarator headquarters or for something to happen at their industrial campus. Warehouse space had not even crossed my mind. It was something they had on lease. Reed's way of cutting costs. I continued my approach, keeping in the shadows as an ever-increasing number of police cars and fire trucks raced toward the scene. When I was within a few blocks, I could go no further. The police had cordoned off the area. Even from where I stood, I could feel the intense heat. The fire had engulfed a dozen buildings, maybe more. I wasn't the only person who had come to see the flames. More and more onlookers appeared. We had all come to see. It was as if the very fires of hell had engulfed the warehouse district.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions, LLC.